Well, good morning, friends. Thank you for your invitation to have me this morning. It is a privilege and a delight to be with you. Thank you for your kind hospitality that you've been showing to me and my wife and my family. Thank you for that. And can I bring to you the greetings from the Shaftesbury Square congregation to you this morning from Belfast. They have met already and are in the middle of their afternoon. But we in our worship, I want us to read from God's Word from Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, it's found on page 1167 of the Church Bible. Listen, for this is the Word of God. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens a whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. You were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Amen. I wonder, have you ever found yourself putting bread into the toaster and you push the lever down and it won't click? And you think, what's wrong with this toaster? Do I need a new toaster? And then you discover it wasn't even plugged in. Or you're trying to get your DVD player to work or your smart box to work with the television. You keep pressing buttons, nothing happens. And so you push those buttons even harder, and still nothing happens. You may even resort to giving the TV a bang to see if that will work. I've caught my daughter Kira giving the television a bang when it doesn't work. I wonder where she got that from. But the reason the TV is not working is because it's not plugged in. It's so simple, and yet we can be so slow to catch on. The same can be true in our Christian life. Paul speaks of this in our passage. In verse 4, we read that we have been alienated from Christ. Or we read in this version, we have been severed from Christ. What brings this disconnect from Christ? Well, it's the main theme of the letter to the Galatians. When we rely on our works rather than Christ for our salvation, we are disconnected from Christ. We forget the freedom that we have in Christ. And the result is we feel overburdened. How often do we describe the Christian life as feeling as freeing? Or Are we more inclined to say the Christian life is burdensome? If we're willing to be honest, at times we do feel burdened by it. And then when we think about it a little bit longer, then maybe we're able to say, yes, it is freeing. It is liberating. And so this morning we may have come to church feeling overburdened, under pressure for a variety of reasons. And I want us to spend time considering that we are free in Christ. It's this truth that Paul tells us to stand firm on. Now, some background to this letter to the Galatians. The church in Galatia has been influenced by false teachers who are teaching a message that, yes, you need Christ, but you need more than that. You need Jesus plus the whole Jewish law. And most importantly, circumcision, as well as other Jewish customs, to be sure of your salvation. Well, Paul writes this letter to remind the Galatians of the gospel. And he speaks personally in the first two chapters of how he preached a genuine gospel. That you can't earn your way to God by keeping various laws. Instead, we have a Savior, Jesus Christ. He has met the requirements of the law. As well as that, he has paid the price, the penalty, for our inability to keep God's law. He died on the cross because of our sin. So it's in Christ we put our confidence and not in ourselves. It is Christ who has set us free. So these are chapters 3 and 4 are about the theology of the gospel I've just described. And then the last two chapters in Galatians, Paul applies the gospel to our daily lives. Our sermon has 3 points this morning. And firstly, I want us to consider you are free from slavery because of Christ, so stand firm in Christ. Now we see this in verses 1 to 6. You are free from slavery because of Christ, so stand firm in Christ. What the Galatian Christians were doing is nothing new. Christians throughout the ages have been constantly falling into this trap of this desire to add to the work of Christ for their salvation. How does Paul describe it? In verse 1 he says, "Do not let yourselves be overburdened or be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Well, what does he mean by again? Well, previous to the Galatians becoming Christians, they were pagans, and so they were under the yoke of slavery to many gods. They had lived their lives trying to appease these various gods. And Paul is saying that what they are doing now, this Jesus plus good works religion, is no different than their paganism. That's how dangerous it is when we start behaving that it's down to us and what we do to contribute to our own salvation. We are no different than pagans trying to appease their gods in various ways. Paul is not mincing his words here. He's telling them straight. The way that the Galatians were doing it was by being circumcised. And what does Paul say in response to those who are being circumcised in verse 2? Christ will be of no value to you at all. And he underlines this by saying, mark my words. When we attempt to add to our salvation, we undermine it. We take Christ out of Christianity and we put ourselves in his place. We justify ourselves and we tell God that we are right with him. And when we think of our good deeds, that they appease God, then we're saying that we don't need Christ. We can't do that. Now, how is this relevant to us? Circumcision, I'm sure, isn't attractive to any of us, so how do we fall into this trap? Well, there are other behaviours that we do that can lead to us becoming proud. Maybe it's keeping the Lord's Day. Maybe it's singing the Psalms. witnessing for Christ, helping a charity, caring for someone in need. Now, these examples I've given are good things, and they should be encouraged. But the danger is when we put so much weight on our particular issue, and it becomes evident when we look down on others who don't practice or who don't put the same emphasis on our particular issue. Now, it's not that there aren't mature believers, immature believers, there are. The problem is when the mature believer looks down on the immature believer, thinking that they are somehow better or that they are somehow more deserving of God's grace. Well, actually, they're not. In humility, they should never consider themselves better than another. So when we become proud of a particular behaviour, that it gives us standing, what does Paul say in response in verse 3? He says you need to keep the whole law and keep it to perfection. So Paul is saying you can be a legalist. You can seek your own salvation via the law. But to do so means you must do it 100%. That's the password mark. Well, none of us can do that. Paul says in verse 4 that you have forgotten about God's grace, and so you are separated from Christ. Instead, you are trying to save yourself by keeping the law. There is a real danger when we separate ourselves from Christ and from His saving grace. When we sever that connection, when we think, if it wasn't for me, well, that would never happen. When we think too highly of ourselves. What does Jesus say in that famous passage where he describes himself as the vine? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When we are alienated from Christ, when we've been severed from Christ, we will accomplish nothing. All of our pride is empty, puffed up air. We think we're justified by our law keeping, but it's nothing. God does not accept this attitude. No, this behavior, this mindset shows that Christ is not enough for you. You feel the need to save yourself. And so Christ has become a stranger to you. And so Paul is warning us of the danger of this belief in yourself. And ultimately the result of this behavior is a falling away. It's not that someone can lose their salvation, it's that they never had it in the first place. Well, is this wrong attitude of no longer valuing Christ, of justifying yourself, an issue for you? Well, a sign of it in your life can be that of anxiety. When you believe it's down to your ability to keep the law, you will become anxious. We've looked at examples of our law keeping. Other examples could be attending church meetings, reading the Bible or other Christian books, praying for long periods, taking your children to every Bible club or CY event. Now, it's not that these are not good things. They are, and they should be encouraged in our Christian lives. The danger is when we look to these things as a way to merit our salvation. And the result is we put ourselves under immense pressure. And when you feel, and you will, you become discouraged and you become anxious. The law is a slave driver. It will never be happy with your performance. It will always want more because it demands 100%. In Galatians 2 verse 10 it says, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." We are all under curse, but Christ has freed us from this curse, removing our sin by dying on that cross and counting to us His righteousness. Verses 5 to 6 here we see our response, and it's that of faith. We are to believe, we are to trust Christ. That's the only acceptable response. It's not about circumcision, it's about faith. And we'll see later a faith that leads to love. So stand firm in your faith in the work of Christ. Only in Christ are we free. Well, secondly, let's consider you're free from slavery, so beware of becoming enslaved again. In verses 7 to 12, you're free from slavery, so beware of becoming enslaved again. Paul writes in his letter that the Galatians were doing well in their Christian life. In verse 7, you are running a good race. Now, this race needs to be viewed not as a 100-meter sprint, but as a marathon. And the Galatians had been doing well, but like all marathons, there are difficulties along the way. And in this case, someone cutting in front of you. Paul asks the question, who has cut in and kept you from obeying the truth? Have you ever had that experience of a driver cutting in front of you while you're driving? You've had to swerve from the direction that you're going in. Unfortunately for the Galatians, they were in danger of not getting back on track. False teachers had barged in and were teaching something opposite to the gospel. Now, when a car cuts in front of you, it's obvious. It leaves you upset or angry or startled, unless it's a doctor or the fireman, right, Sam? But these false teachers, they're subtle. Paul describes them as like yeast, a small amount, and yet they have a massive influence. Their false teaching, it's not easy to spot. They're persuasive in their teaching, using words that sound right. It sounds like we're on the same page. And the cults are very good at this today. They use Christian language. They emphasize how much we are the same. They play down the differences. And so they entice people in. But the cults are an extreme example. For legalism is a danger to us all. And it's not easy to spot. Often it's a good thing that becomes a standard that everyone is encouraged to follow. And then when people don't follow that standard, they're looked down upon. And Paul helps us see that this is not from God. He says in verse 8, this persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. His gospel is one of grace. He does not put conditions on grace. Notice Paul writes that the message of grace is a message that leads to persecution. Now that's an identifying feature of the gospel message. The gospel is not liked. It's an attack on man's pride. And so the gospel message is an offensive message. People are maybe happy to admit that, yeah, they make the odd mistake. But to tell them that they're sinners condemned to all eternity is at best to receive apathy and at worst persecution. And Paul faced persecution for the gospel, even in Galatia. People think too highly of themselves to accept this message. While these false teachers, they come in and they flatter their hearers, teaching that you can save yourselves. Teaching that salvation is found within yourself. Just try that little bit harder. And so as Paul says, they abolish the offense of the cross. They remove the offense that sin deserves judgment. And in the end, they make the cross redundant. How often do people say that they're good enough to get to heaven? But then you ask them, well, why did Christ come down into the world to die on a cross if you can get to heaven on your own? And they have no response, but they continue to be satisfied in their own ability. So we have a choice. It's either the cross or circumcision. It's either Christ or it's ourselves. But when we recognize our sin, when we recognize a need of a Saviour, and that we continually need a Saviour, well, we will find joy in this message, because we are more sinful than we can ever imagine. We have no reason to think too highly of ourselves, but we have joy because we have a Saviour. We have hope. We have peace because we enjoy God's grace through Christ. Well, Paul has had enough. If these people believe in the message of circumcision to save themselves, well, why not go the whole road and emasculate themselves? Paul, in his frustration, is speaking of the complete futility of what they're doing, and that actually they are behaving not so differently than the Greek pagan priests who castrated themselves in their rituals to appease their gods. Paul also warns the Galatians that they will receive judgment for their false teaching. Although it looks like they're succeeding, ultimately they will bear the penalty for this harmful teaching and contributing to their own salvation. And that's an eternity in hell. So Paul strongly warns the Galatians, do not be enslaved again. The tricky thing about the gospel versus this false teaching of legalism is that they can sit side by side to each other in the church. You can have a legalist and a Christian, and unless you see into their hearts, it can be very difficult to tell them apart. But they know who they are. In their church attendance, are they going to praise God? Or are they going to earn brownie points? In their marriage, do they love their wife? Or are they more interested in their eternal welfare and so feel they need to be faithful so they will get to heaven? In their work, do they work hard as if serving the Lord? Or do they work to earn their salvation? And their kindness to others, is it because they love that person? Or is it because they think in doing this, then God will reward them? So we must repent of this sin and trust fully in the good news of Christ, that we are free from slavery. So let's not be tempted to be enslaved again. And then finally, I want us to notice, you're free from slavery to serve and not to sin, in verses 13 to 15. So you're free from slavery to serve and not to sin. The danger with Paul's message is the misunderstanding that if we have a Saviour whose death has covered our sins, well, then we can sin as much as we want. That sounds liberating. When we hear the word freedom, we think of personal freedom, when we can do whatever we want, whenever, wherever, however, and with whomever we want and please. So we don't need to worry about the law. We can live whatever way we want because Christ has it covered. Well, no. Paul says that yes, we are free, but we're not free from God. John Stott defines freedom as freedom from my silly little self in order to live responsibly in love for God and others. The message of the gospel is not a license to sin. Often it's criticized for that by unbelievers, and it doesn't help when Christians behave in that way. But can you imagine a world where we are allowed to sin as much as we want? To lie, to steal, to be unfaithful, to even murder. That doesn't sound like freedom from a loving God. Well, that sounds more like anarchy. Paul even sees this in Galatia when he calls out their biting and their devouring of one another. And this mayhem can have devastating results when Paul speaks of it as destroying each other. How many churches have known this mayhem when Christians fight each other by indulging in their sinful natures, by demanding that they get their way, believing it's their freedom. The truth is that anyone who uses freedom to indulge their sinful nature is not really free at all. Jesus says, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin in John 8. In other words, license is the very opposite of liberty. Christ frees us from sin, not frees us to sin. Instead, the gospel message does not allow us to sin all the more. It allows us to serve all the more. And we should desire to serve each other. Look around you. Consider your church family. These are the people you are to serve. In your family or in your community, again, these are the people you are to serve. It's not about getting your own way or seeing your agenda is accomplished. How do we serve? Well, Paul says that we are to serve in love. It's in direct response to the love that God shows us. We are to show love to others. So consider your faith in Christ. Has it led you to love others? A genuine faith will always lead to loving service. Now, this is where the message of the gospel sounds contradictory. We emphasize faith in Christ and not good works, and then we do emphasize good works and that faith in Christ should never be alone. Well, what's going on? Well, the well-known phrase that we are saved through faith alone, but saving faith is never alone. It's accompanied by loving service to others. So we are to keep the law, not for our salvation, but we are to keep the law in response to our salvation. Notice Paul says in verse 14, he does not sum up the law with circumcision or with other obsolete laws. Notice how he sums it up. Love your neighbor as yourself. We are free. Now we're saved by Christ. But we are free to serve others. And so freedom is not selfish, but it leads to the interests of others. So there are two opposite mistakes that people make with the gospel. On the one hand, there's legalism, when we become slaves to the law, hoping by doing so we will save ourselves. Or in believing we are saved, we can behave in whatever way we want, seeing our salvation as a license to sin. Both are wrong, and we need to repent of both. And it's something we must continually be on our guard about, for we will drift from one extreme to the other, and in each case find ourselves under the burden of slavery and anxiety that it produces. So Paul here helps us put the gospel of grace in a practical way. We are to stand firm, for when we lean to other things, we are no longer remaining in Christ, and the result will be anxiety in our life. We must remember that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. We must be on our guard, not to be enslaved again, but always checking our motives, that we never find ourselves proud in what we do, in some way thinking by doing this that we are better than others. And finally, remember, we are free in Christ to serve others, not ourselves. And that's a challenge for a church. And church tensions can easily arise when we feel ignored. We are always to be serving others. That's a sign that we are truly saved. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful truth that we are free in Christ. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness when we often forget this truth. we become disconnected with Christ. Instead, Lord, that we would remember that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. So, Lord, strengthen us that we would stand on this truth. Forgive us, Lord, when we've fallen into the sins of legalism, trying to justify ourselves, or into the sin of license, thinking that we are free to sin as much as we like. Instead, Lord, that our response to your loving grace to us would be that we desire to love others and serve others. So help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.